I want to tell you the background of what was just read in that song in Judges chapter 5. The Israelites had been doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord disciplined his people by giving them into the hand of King Jabin and the Canaanites. King Jabin oppressed Israel cruelly for 20 years. Deborah was Israel's judge at the time and a prophetess. And the Lord spoke through Deborah to Barak, commanding Barak to gather 10,000 fighting men at Mount Tabor. The Lord promised to draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, with his 900 iron chariots and his troops to meet Barak's Israelite army by the river Kishon, and promised to give Jabin's army into Barak's hand. Now, Barak told Deborah that he would only go if Deborah went with him. Deborah arose and went with Barak as Barak summoned the Israelite warriors. And a battle began at the river Kishon in the Jezreel Valley. Just a month or two ago, I was there in the Jezreel Valley where this battle was fought. And I saw where the Kishon River is. And the Kishon River is normally very small. But the Lord brought a great storm during that battle that turned the river into a torrent. And we read in Judges 5 how the torrent took away Sisera and his army. The Lord fought for his people that day as the Lord brought that great storm and swelled the river. The Lord went before Israel. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. The Lord delivered his people with his powerful right hand. Now, to commemorate this victory, Deborah and Barak wrote the passage that was just read as a song of praise to the Lord. It is very poetic. You heard the rhythm even in the English translation. Now, as we turn our attention in this last session to the topic dependence, warring against sin and temptation in your Father's power, I want to point out several significant things in Deborah's song here in Judges 5. First of all, we see that the song praises the Lord for how the Israelites took responsibility in the battle. If you look back at verse 2, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. The song is not praising the Israelites for what they did in taking responsibility, but it's praising the Lord because the Lord stirred the Israelites to take responsibility in the battle. If you go down to verse 9, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. He praises the Lord because the Lord was behind that. The Lord worked in their hearts. And then also I want to point out how the song praises the Lord for fighting for his people. Look at verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. To the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. It says the Lord marched before his people. The Lord fought. It's a poetic way of saying the Lord fought for his people. If you go forward to verse 11, to the sound of musicians at the watering places, there they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord. The righteous triumphs of the Lord. Not just here in this battle, but also in Israel's past. This song of praise to the Lord is very similar to Miriam's much shorter song of praise after the Exodus. Do you remember those words of Miriam after crossing through the Red Sea safely in Exodus 15? Those words, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This was the Lord's victory. This was the Lord's doing. This was the Lord's power. He triumphed gloriously. And then I also want to point out here in Judges 5 how the song asked the Lord to make all his enemies to perish. If you go down to verse 31, here's the conclusion to the song. Verse 31, "So may all your enemies perish, O Lord." Not just those who perished in this battle, but may all your enemies perish, O Lord. "But your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might." Deborah had sent Barak into battle with complete dependence on the Lord. That the narrative that precedes this song in chapter 4, verse 14, records Deborah's words to Barak before the battle, where Deborah said to him, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" What encouraging words Deborah, the prophetess, gave to Barak. "The Lord goes out before you. This is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hand." And after the battle, as we see in this song, Deborah recognized the Lord's work and gave him the glory in song. It was not just enough to speak these words of praise to God, but they were to be put to music and sung in praise, with great joy in praise to God. And my question for you, sisters, is, do you approach spiritual battles against sin and temptation in the same way that Deborah approached the battle against the Canaanites? With complete dependence upon the Lord? Ready to give the Lord the glory for each victory? Is that how you approach spiritual battles against sin and temptation? Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us as his disciples to war in prayer against sin and temptation. I'm going to read the last two petitions in the Lord's Prayer. It's not called the Lord's Prayer because Christ prayed it. He could not pray this prayer because, as we saw in the last session, part of it is "forgive us our sins." And Christ had no sin to be forgiven of. But it's called the Lord's Prayer because it came from him. He has given it to us as a model for how we are to pray. And in Matthew 6:13, we have the last petitions. These are the ones we'll focus on this afternoon. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, as was pointed out earlier, the Lord's Prayer uses the words "are," "us," and "we." Those words are used 9 times in the Lord's Prayer. So what we will learn from this verse, from verse 13, should be applied in praying both for yourself and in praying for other believers. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We're to pray that for ourselves, and we are to pray that for the rest of the brethren. This is something to pray for others, whether that be your husband, your children, your parents, or others in your church. I have often prayed these last two petitions for people in our church, especially when I'm in a situation where I'm meeting on a regular basis with an individual to give biblical counsel, to give discipleship, and I'm very well aware of their spiritual struggles. I will find myself praying for them. "Lord, Heavenly Father, today lead so-and-so not into temptation, but deliver so-and-so from evil today." And I find myself praying this even more for myself. Especially at the beginning of the day, "Lord, lead me not into temptation this day, but deliver me today from evil." You are to war in prayer against sin and temptation in your own life, and you are to war against sin and temptation in the lives of other believers, because we are one body. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong together. We've been united together in a mutual love and care for one another. So don't just think about applying this to praying this for yourself. Also be thinking about praying this for others. If you have been suffering because of the sins of someone close to you, It's easy to become anxious, to become bitter, because of the sins of that person who is close to you. If you are in such a position today, resolve today that rather than becoming anxious and bitter over the sins of this other person that is so close to you, resolve today that you will begin to seriously war against the sin and the temptations in their life by praying for them along the lines of Matthew 6:13. The fact that these petitions are part of the Lord's Prayer tells us that they are very important to include in our prayers. Don't somehow rationalize that these things are not all that important. The fact that this is part of the Lord's Prayer tells us this is very, very important. In verse 13, our Lord teaches you and me to do three things in prayer. Three things in prayer. First of all, to acknowledge your Father's power to deliver you from sin and temptation. This teaches you to acknowledge your Father's power to deliver you from sin and temptation. The petition, "Lead us not into temptation," teaches that our Father in heaven has the power to keep us from temptation. And we see how our Father keeps us from some temptations in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." There are certain temptations that God has decided he is not going to allow that temptation into your life, because you are not in a position where you would be able to overcome that. No, he says he is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He knows who you are. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your frailties. He is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Satan's purpose in afflicting Job was to tempt Job to curse God. And before doing so, Satan had to obtain God's permission. In Job chapter 1, verse 12, Satan is requesting permission for that first round of afflictions against Job. And in Job 1, verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." The Lord would not permit Satan, in that first round of afflictions, he would not permit Satan to touch Job's body. He allowed Satan to tempt Job by taking away Job's children. He allowed Satan to tempt Job by taking away the material prosperity of Job. But Satan could not touch Job's body and tempt him in that way, because the Lord did not permit him to do so in that first round of temptations. The Lord gave Job the grace to resist that temptation, to curse God. And then Satan came before God and asked permission for a second round of afflicting Job and tempting Job to curse God. And there in chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life." So in the second round, the Lord permitted Satan to tempt Job by afflicting Job's body with those boils. Satan is under the sovereign control of God, and he cannot do anything that God tells him, "No, you cannot do this." Your Heavenly Father has the power to keep you from temptation. Your Heavenly Father is in absolute sovereign control over the temptations that you face. And he's in sovereign control over the temptations that the people that you pray for face. Now, sometimes our Heavenly Father leads us into a place where we will be tempted by the devil. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we read that after Jesus was baptized and the Spirit came down from heaven to rest upon Christ, We read in Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into that place where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. But we are to pray that God will, our Heavenly Father, will not lead us into temptation. That he will keep us from temptation. And we will talk about the reason for praying this a little bit later on. But for now, I want you to see that in this petition, in the Lord's Prayer, we acknowledge our Father's power to deliver us from temptation. He has the power to do so. And we also learn it here in verse 13 of our Father's power in the second petition, but deliver us from evil. The New King James, or the King James, and the NIV, translated a little bit differently than the ESV that I'm preaching from. ESV is deliver us from evil. New King James, NIV, is deliver us from the evil one. Interpreting this as a reference to Satan. Satan is the evil one. And certainly that idea is included in this petition. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the devil. But the word in the original language has a broader meaning than evil one, and also can refer to the evil in our hearts, the evil in our thoughts, the evil in our words, the evil in our actions. And since the Lord's Prayer is a broad outline that encompasses so much of what we are to pray for, we should interpret this petition in the broadest way. It means deliver us from the evil one and from his schemes and from the evil in our hearts, thoughts, words, and actions. Deliver us from all of it. Think of how Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 speaks of how sin clings so closely to us. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. It's not that sins cling so closely to the unbeliever. This is speaking about the Christian. Sin clings so closely to us as Christians. It has a very powerful hold. Romans 7 speaks of the Christian's battle against indwelling sin. Listen to Romans 7, verses 18 to 25. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. Now, these are words written by the Apostle Paul. He's a mature believer in Christ. And as a mature believer, he writes, I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Paul talks about that struggle that you can relate to, if you are in Christ, that struggle between the flesh and the spirit, because you have the Holy Spirit within you, because the Holy Spirit has given you a new heart, you delight in the law of God, you love God, your heart's desire is to obey God and to follow Him, yet you find yourself often doing what you do not want to do. You find yourself doing the sin that you hate. You hate it, but you find yourself doing it anyhow. And Paul's question there at the end is, who will deliver me? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from the flesh? Who will deliver me from indwelling sin? Jesus tells us, pray to our Heavenly Father, deliver us. Same word. Deliver us from evil. Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our deliverer. He will deliver us. And we are to pray, deliver us from evil. This teaches us that our Heavenly Father has the power to do so. There is no sin that has such a tight grip on you that your Heavenly Father is unable to deliver you from it. He can deliver you from the deepest of anxieties. He can deliver you from the strongest bitterness. He can deliver you from the most ingrained habits of lashing out with angry words. He can deliver you from the most impure of thoughts and behaviors. He can deliver you from the most consuming of covetousness, just as He can deliver you from any other form of evil, including what we might think of as little sins. The Lord's Prayer teaches you and me to acknowledge our Heavenly Father's power to deliver us from sin and temptation. Secondly, it teaches you to confess your inherent weakness before sin and temptation. The Lord's Prayer teaches you to confess your inherent weakness before sin and temptation. In the face of sin and temptation, we are very weak, are we not? And this prayer teaches us to confess that. When you sincerely pray, "Lead us not into temptation," you are recognizing that you are weak in the face of temptation, that you are prone to be deceived by temptation, that you are inclined to yield to temptation. And when you pray from the heart, "Deliver us from evil," you are confessing with the Apostle Paul that sin dwells within you, that your heart is not pure and holy as it ought to be, that you struggle with sin. These petitions that we are looking at follow right on the heels of the petition in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts." Forgive us our debts. That teaches us to confess our sin to God. And having confessed our sin to God, then it follows, "Lead us not into temptation, that I might not repeat the sin that I've just confessed. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the practice of the sin that I've just confessed, that it would no longer be a habit or a pattern in my life. Deliver us from evil." Jesus gave to His disciples similar instructions in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I want us to look first at verse 41. Jesus is thinking on what He will suffer the next day, when He will go to the cross to atone for our sins, to lay down His life as a ransom for us. He thinks about that cup of the Father's wrath that He will drink the next day. He thinks of how He is leaving His disciples. In Matthew 26, verse 41, He's there in the Garden of Gethsemane with His disciples, and He tells them, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So He's asking them to pray something very similar to what we see in the Lord's Prayer. "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And notice the reason why he gives for why they should pray so. He says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Do you remember how the disciples had just insisted, just not more than a few hours before this, that they would not fall away from Jesus? Look back at verse 31. Verse 31. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night.'" He knows that He's going to be betrayed. He knows He's going to be arrested. He knows He's going to be put on trial. He knows His disciples are going to be afraid for their own lives. Verse 31, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered Him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to Him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. All of them were self-confident. Christ has warned us we're going to fall away, but That's not true. We're not going to fall away. We're not going to deny him. We know better than that. But Jesus says in verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. They express that willingness in those words to Jesus. We will not fall away. We won't deny you. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You have the flesh to deal with, and the flesh is weak. The flesh is our old self. It's who we are apart from Christ. Are you ever like the disciples were when they were saying, oh, well, we'll never fall away? Are you ever like that when you hear a sermon? Or you're reading scripture? And there's a warning in scripture against certain sin. And you go, well, I'm immune to that. I would never fall in that way. We can probably relate to the disciples. And we need to hear these words of Jesus. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The disciples needed to be humbled in prayer. And you and I need to be humbled by praying the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that the Lord gives us to humble us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're acknowledging that our flesh is weak. We're acknowledging that we are so prone to fall into temptation if it comes our way, or we walk into its way. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You do have a Holy Spirit wrought love for God and hatred of evil, but in the flesh you are absolutely weak. Jesus said in John 15:5, apart from me you can do nothing. Nothing of spiritual value. Nothing of what pleases your Father. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. We're powerless apart from Christ. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to confess our inherent weakness before sin and temptation. It teaches us to confess our desperate need for our Heavenly Father to keep us from temptation and deliver us from evil. And thirdly, the Lord's Prayer teaches you to exercise your privilege of warring in prayer. It teaches you to exercise your privilege of warring in prayer. We've been talking throughout the day about the privilege that prayer is. The prayer is not to be taken for granted. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 say, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. These are the words that the Lord spoke through Isaiah to a people that were idolatrous, to a people that were absolutely unfaithful to the Lord, a people that were walking in rebellion against God. They were walking in unrepentant sin. God had sent them prophet after prophet after prophet to call them back to himself, and they were stubborn, and they refused to follow the Lord. And the prophet says, God's ear works. His ear is not dull. He can hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear your prayer. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You and I were rightly separated from God by our sins. We were dead in our sins. We were rebels against God. And we were rightly separated from God by our sins. We cherished iniquity in our heart. We deserved the condemnation of a holy and righteous God. But in God's supreme grace, in his supreme mercy, we who have repented of sin and trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior have been reconciled to God by Christ's sacrifice of himself. We have been forgiven of all of our sins by the blood of Jesus. We've been justified through faith alone. We've been adopted by God as his sons and daughters. We've been given the Holy Spirit who cries out within us, Abba, Father. And we've been given the privilege of prayer to a Heavenly Father whose ear is now open to our cry. The privilege of prayer to a Heavenly Father whose delight it now is to answer our petitions. And so, don't take for granted prayer. It is a privilege. The world does not have the privilege of answered prayer. But you, who have been adopted by God as His daughter, you have this privilege. You didn't have this privilege before you were saved. But now that you are saved, you have this privilege. It is a privilege. And so, may you and I resolve this day to exercise the privilege of warring in prayer against sin and temptation for your own sake and also for the sake of others. We should do so as part of our preparation at the beginning of each day. Now, you may not have more than 5 minutes at the beginning of the day that you can set aside for focused prayer with the Lord before you go into the various responsibilities of the day and you move into that praying continually, that is, in all circumstances, just kind of as you face different things. You may only have 5 minutes at the beginning of the day to really devote yourself to prayer before you start doing the work of the day. In those 5 minutes, among other things, you need to pray like Jesus teaches us here. This sets our dependence upon the Lord for the day. Part of our preparation is praying, Lord, this day, keep me from temptation. This day, deliver me from evil. But not only should we pray this at the beginning of the day, as preparation for the day, but throughout the day, we should be praying in the same vein. Especially when you recognize that you are being tempted. You recognize you're being tempted? Immediately, we should be praying, Lord, get me out of this temptation. Lord, deliver me from this evil that I'm being tempted towards. When you see sin in your life, don't despair because you see sin in your life. That's sometimes what we're tempted to do. We see sin in our life, and maybe we see how deeply rooted it is in our life, how long it's been in our life. We can despair. Don't despair. Don't look to your inadequacy and let your eyes stay there on your inadequacy. Look to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh Lord, deliver me from this evil. His power certainly is sufficient. When you are reminded of the struggles that others have with sin and temptation, let that move you to pray like this. Oh Lord, my husband, he's struggling so. Lord, this right now, as I'm thinking right now about the struggle that my husband has right now, Lord, I pray, lead him not into temptation. Keep him from temptation. Deliver him from evil to this day. Now perhaps this afternoon you do not have the privilege of praying to the Heavenly Father because you are separated from God by your sin. You have not been adopted by God. If this is the case, I urge you to come to Jesus Christ today, confessing your sin to Christ, turning from your sin to Christ, trusting Him as your Savior, submitting your life to Him as your Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So come to Him today. If you do not understand what these things mean, please speak afterwards with Pastor Joe or myself or your small group leader or your friend who brought you. And we'll be happy to help you to understand the good news of salvation in Christ. But if Christ has saved you and has given you the privilege of prayer, then be exhorted to make the petitions that we are studying in the Lord's Prayer part of the fiber of your prayers. These petitions should somehow be a part of almost every prayer that we pray. Not in the exact words, but the idea should be woven somehow into almost all the prayers that we pray. When you sincerely, fervently, and frequently pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, changes will happen in your heart. As you sincerely, fervently, frequently pray like this, the Lord will grow your resolve to resist and avoid temptation. He will strengthen you to put off sin and to put on godliness in a growing way. The Bible does not teach us to war against sin and temptation by just letting go and letting God. That is a passive dependence, not the active dependence that the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 say, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." That's very active. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. As a sister in Christ, you have a responsibility to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, you can't do that in your own strength. That's why those words, "stand against the schemes of the devil," were preceded by, "be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." That is active dependence. Depending upon the Lord for the strength, leaning on His understanding, but it's not passive, it's active, because as you lean on His strength, as you trust in His strength, as you look to His strength, you actually take responsibility to stand against the schemes of the devil. And as was read earlier, after giving us the armor of God that we were to put on, verse 18 says, "praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to the end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." That's how we are to war against sin and temptation. When you pray, part of your Heavenly Father's answer will be to give you a way of to escape temptation. We focused on that earlier. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so you will need to exercise responsibility to take the way of escape He provides. Right. He will be faithful as you pray. He will be faithful to give you a way of escape. But He's not going to take that way for you. You have to take the way that He gives you. Exercising responsibility. So it's an active dependence. You depend upon the Lord in prayer. You depend upon His strength. You look for the way of escape that He will give you. But then you take responsibility. You're active. You actually take that way of escape when He gives it to you. Praying the petitions of the Lord's Prayer will teach you active dependence upon Him. And will naturally lead to additional petitions. The Lord's Prayer is not the exclusive petitions that we are to pray. It's this outline. It gives us direction for our prayer. But these petitions are to lead to other petitions that are not listed here. So what will follow upon praying, "lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil"? Petitions like, "lead me into holiness." So it's, "lead me not into temptation, but instead lead me into holiness." "Grow us in obedience to you. Deliver me from evil unto something." Deliver me from evil unto obedience to you. "Teach me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make us as holy as sinners saved by grace can be." These are the sorts of prayers that then follow from, "lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." Beloved sisters, this is a wonderful direction the Lord has given to you for prayer. May you, sisters, grow as prayer warriors, praying in the spirit of Deborah that we saw in Judges, who included in her song to the Lord those words in the last verse, "so may all your enemies perish, O Lord." Just as Sisera and his army perished before the Lord, so may the sin in our hearts and lives perish before our Father. As you pray, watch for your Father's answers. Deborah spoke in her song of repeating, quote, "the righteous triumphs of the Lord." As your Heavenly Father answers your prayers, may you likewise praise the righteous triumphs of our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess to you that our sins are many, that sin clings closely to us, that sin dwells in us, that we often do the very sin that we hate, and we often neglect to do your righteousness that we desire to do, that we love to do. Lord, we thank you that there is forgiveness for us in Christ. As we pray, forgive us our sins. And we thank you that there's not just forgiveness, but also you, as our Heavenly Father, give us strength and power to resist temptation, to avoid temptation, to put off evil and put on obedience to you, put on holiness, put on godliness. We thank you that you are concerned about these things in our lives, Lord, that you are concerned to make us holy as your Son is holy. You're concerned to make us holy in our thoughts. You're concerned to make us holy in our words. You're concerned to make us holy in all of our conduct. We thank you that you love us enough to be concerned about this in our lives. For you have purposed to conform us to the image of your Son, that your Son would be the firstborn among many brothers. You've purposed to conform us to the image of your Son, to bring yourself glory as you delight to see yourself and your Son reflected in us, your redeemed ones. We pray, Father, that you will teach each of us here, Lord, to apply this portion of the Lord's Prayer in our times of prayer, throughout the day. Lord, grow us through this portion of Scripture. Impress these petitions deeply upon our hearts, Lord, that it might become part of the fabric of our prayers. Be glorified as you answer our prayers. Lord, we need you to answer our prayers along these lines. So, Lord, please answer the prayers of my sisters as they cry out to you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.